We're on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, approximately 11 lines down from the top of the Amud, the two dots. The Amar of Sheshes Breder of Idi, Hai Siona, Kovashel Lavad, which in English is a felt hat, Shari. He's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. And we're going to see what the issue is in a minute. However, for Itmar the Gemara Sakasha, we learned that Siona also, Lotzeis Bo B'Shabbos. Gemara says, Lo Kasha, we can reconcile this contradiction. Ha, when we said it was Osir to wear this felt hat, De Ispe Tefach. Sfas HaKova Bolet V'yotze Chutz L'Rosho Tefach. The part of the hat extends, let's call it the roof of the brim of the hat, that would be a better word than roof, is a tefach wide, the osam mishum ohel. And therefore, even the beso, it would be osam to put this on his head. He's making a tent. But ha, that which we saw in the name of Rav Sheshes, that it's mutter, the less be tefach. The brim is not a tefach wide, and therefore it doesn't have the status of an ohel. So the Gemara says, that's not so, because elamayata, according to this explanation, we're going to have to raise the following objection. Shirbev beglima tefach, tefach, lachinami de machayev. If let's say he extends the cloak, taliso al rosho, kshumis atef ba, as he's wrapping himself up in this cloak, is he going to tell me that he's chayev? We don't believe that in this case there should be any chiyuv. Here, he's covering his head, and something juts out. I can't consider that an ohel. Just like in the case of a cloak or any sort of beged that sticks out or extends, we should say, one tefach beyond the front of his head. Is that going to be considered an ohel? And Rashi and the Piskei Rid, they explain, Hatam she'ein bo ze iser ol mishum she'ein iser ol shayach b'malbushe adam. The underlying principle here, when the Gemara rejects this interpretation of Sheshes, is that ol doesn't apply to something that you're wearing on your body. It's an article of clothing, that's not called ohel. The Korban Nisanal on the Rosh has a slightly different approach. He says that there might be an iser here of ol aroi, which is osur mirabbanan. And that's what the Gemara is clearing about back and forth. In any event, the Gemara now reinterprets the statement about this kova, about this hat. Ella, the iser of the kova, is not because of ohel, but rather because he's going out to Rishus Harab. The Gemara has a gzeris chachamim that maybe the wind will carry off his hat, and then in Rishus HaRab, he might be tempted inadvertently to carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRab. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. And now we can reconcile Rav Sheshes, who prohibits it, with our assumption that it certainly should be permissible. And that's why we said, well, Rav Sheshes actually said, Siona Shari. And the Beis Medrash said that Siona is Osir. And we can reconcile by saying that Lo Kasha, Ha, when Rav Sheshes says it's Mutter, he's talking about the Mahadik, that the hat on his head is tied down very tightly, and we're not afraid that the wind will blow it away. Vaha, but when we saw in the Beis Medrash that it was Osir to wear this hat, that's the Lo Mahadik, when it's loose on his head, and therefore we're afraid the wind will blow it away and he'll end up carrying it in Rishus HaRab. And as far as talus is concerned, there's no isur because there's no possibility of shema tagbiya ruach, that the wind is going to carry it up. It's wrapped around his body as an article of clothing. Sholach le Rami bar Yechezkel Rav Huna, Emelecha, teach us, Ize, our beloved, our friends, Hanach Mili Mal Yaisa, from the excellent teachings, the Amrislan, which you can share with us, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav. And give us, if you can, Tarti, Behilchos Shabbos V'chada, Be'inyan Torah. Maybe an agadah about the significance of Torah. Sholach Le, Rav Huna sent a reply to Rabbi Bar Yechezkel. First halacha of Rav in Hilchos Shabbos Hadasanya. What we learned in a brisa about something called a good. Okay, that's only a hanging leather bag. Okay, so you have straps of this leather bag. And this is a node. It's made of, as we said, leather. Piv rachav ma'od. Its opening is very wide. And chutim tluyim bo. And he's got straps that are attached to this node, right, which we said was some sort of a leather bag. And holchei drachim, those who are on the road, memalin oso yayin o chalav, they fill up this bag with wine or milk. Ubimokom shetokim o haleim, wherever they establish their camp and their tents, lolun, to sleep over at night. Moschim piv al gabi yisedos shenotzim ba'aretz. They stretch the mouth of this leather bag over pegs that they insert into the ground. And the wind overs me that mitzanenes, and it's a cool wind that cools off the wine and keeps it cold at the right temperature, or the milk, so it shouldn't spoil. And it looks a little bit like an oil because he's stretching this leather bag over pegs, creating, so to speak, an airspace that's covered by this leather bag. And bekisna, if, let's say, for example, we have these straps and we hang it by its straps, then it's set in a place which is kavua, the Erev Shabbos, mutar l'ntosa v'Shabbos. So that we make a distinction here between the opening itself of the bag, which is stretched over the yesedos, as opposed to hanging this bag from straps that are hanging over these yesedos. And here we're making a distinction with a brisa in the case of mounting the leather bag by its straps. That's one thing, but mounting the leather bag by its opening, that's different. And Omar Rav, here's where Rav introduced his insights. He says, Lo Shanu, when are we allowed to do this? Ela sheshnei b'nei adam. B'shnei b'nei adam means that when they stretch open the leather bag, they do so with two people. Aval b'adam echad asur, to stretch it out with one person alone, that's not permissible, because what he does is he stretches it first over one peg, and connects it, the bag, to that one peg, and then he goes back and he stretches it over to the second peg. until he finally ends up with the four pegs. And that's Nimtach Hetev. That's considered a very tight kind of attachment, such that it looks like Ohel. So if two people are mounting the bag, they generally don't spread it tightly, so it's not even an Ol Aroi. A single person will tie one end and stretch out the bag, tie the other end, and it becomes a tightly drawn bag that resembles an Ohel. And that's prohibited. So when they mounted this leather bag by its straps over the stakes, over the sedos, that was mutar only, says the Gemara, in the name of Rav, when they did it two people together, and it wasn't tightly drawn. But if it's one person, he tightly draws it from side to side until this bag is set in a tightly drawn way that resembles oil. Omar Abaye, the kilo, you remember that a kilo is a canopy, afilu basar b'nei adam asur, even if it's stretched by 10 people, it's still asur. Why? Yefshadol mimatcha purta. It's impossible that it shouldn't be stretched properly a little bit, and that little bit is enough to make it considered like a tent. And in the footnote, he says, "Me'achav akila asuya mibad is nimteches hiyosu migod ha'asu mi'or." So, in terms of this concept of stretching it tightly, this case is more severe than the case of god. God was a case that of something good, actually, was something case that was made of leather. And leather doesn't stretch that tightly. But here, in the case of kila, we're talking about something that's made of bad, like any tent, and it's nimteches and muhudekes yoser, and therefore even if 10 people together will stretch out this canopy, it's awesome. Idoch, now we're up to the second halacha in the name of Rav, as far as Shabbos is concerned. So Maihi, what is that? This sanya we learned in a brisa, kira, which is a small oven, and it's made of metal. It has four legs. Shenishmito achas miyarchoseho, one of the four legs fell off. Mutal etaltala b'Shabbos, there's no isur tiltal. Why? And the answer is because since three legs are left, it still has a function, it's still suitable for as an oven. And we don't have to worry that maybe he's going to go ahead and attach the fourth leg that fell. However, shtayim, if two of the four legs fell, also you're not allowed to be metaltel this broken oven on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because as is, with two legs, it cannot stand. And we're afraid that he's more, in this case, tempted to connect the raglayim, those legs that fell off, on Shabbos, and violate Melechas Bona. And Rav disagrees with this halacha, and he says, V'yomar afilu chad nami, even if only one leg fell off, osur, you're not allowed to be metaltel gzer shemi itoka, he's afraid that even that one leg, he's going to attach to the kira, in a very strong way, and violate the Melechas Bona. We're not going to say, well, you know what, it's only one leg and it can function on three legs. Omedes b'kach b'shalosh raglayim. No, we're going to be afraid that he might be tempted to reattach that one leg, the fourth leg that fell off, and that would be a meleches bona. And a tokeh b'chozek, this is a gemara that we had back on daf mem zayin amud beis, is chayav echatos. And how much more so in the case where two legs fell off, where the oven, this little oven can't stand on two legs, how much more so would the Bichshashi be tempted perhaps to fix up this little oven and attach the legs again? Okay, those are the two halachas in Shabbos that we get from Rav. Now we're up to Torah. We also asked to see if Rav had any statements in Agadata about Torah. And he tells him, D'yomar Rav, Asida Torah shetishtachech mi Yisrael, that Torah will be forgotten from Israel at some point. Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Dvarim, towards the end of Dvarim, it says, Shenemar vehifla Hashem es makoscha, Hashem will make extraordinary your blows. Hafla zu en yodea mai. Hafla means extraordinary. What's it referring to? Och, shu omer, lachen hini yosef, lahafli yasa'om azeh hafli vafela, havi omer hafla zu Torah. When it says in the pasuk, in Yeshayahu Novi, therefore, I will do extraordinary things amongst this people, exceedingly extraordinary, half-lever fellow, right? For the wisdom of their wise shall perish. And we should assume that that means that the hafla refers to forgetting Torah wisdom. I'll just read to you quickly a kasha from the Marsha. Why does the Gemara have to bring the pasuk of Vehifla Hashem es makoscha? Ain't shayach lilmo be pasuk zeh b'fnei atzmo. You can't learn anything from that pasuk without the pasuk from Navi, which teaches us that our flaw is Torah. And if that be the case, then wouldn't be enough to bring that pasuk from Navi, which says explicitly v'avda chachmas chachamav. The wisdom of the wise men will be forgotten. Says the Marsha, the Gemara brings the pasuk from the Torah in order to interpret the pasuk in Navi. Without the pasuk in the Torah, we would not know how to interpret the pasuk that says Hinni Yosef lehafli. And we would ask, you know, if we would ask why the double language hafle vafela, we'd be stuck. But now that we have an elucidation that hafla, which is in the Tochacha, in the Torah itself, it has a reference, it alludes to Torah, now we understand the pasuk in Nach. Right? He writes the Marsha, Hinei al yomokom lomar, Shema shenemar b'tochacha shetie shichachas ha-Torah, Hakavon al achilik ha-nistar shebetor b'lvad. We could have perhaps suggested that the more esoteric parts of Torah would be forgotten. Ba Novi Ubir, no. The Novi clarifies and elucidates Sha'af Hachilik Hanigla Shabbatar Yishtakach. And that's what the Baisa is talking about, Shemitishtakach Halacha Mi Yisrael. And this is what the Novi meant when he said, Hinini Yosef, Yosef Lafli, which is Shichacha Nosefes, an extra forgetfulness. Milvad, in addition to the Shichacha that's mentioned in the Tochacha, and Plia Kfula of Hafle Vafela, will Yishtaka Chilek HaNigle Im Chilek HaNistar, that together with the Chilek HaNistar, the more esoteric parts, the secret, the mystical parts that are being forgotten, the Chilek HaNigle, even the revealed parts, will be forgotten. So it's interesting, when they try to invoke a statement, a Gadic statement about Torah from Rav, what they found was that Rav was being very down, so to speak. And he was already foretelling the ultimate forgetting of the Torah at the time of Hifla Shemes Makoscha. Now, let's just say a word or two about the pasuk hafla. What does it say? It says v'hifla Hashem es makoscha, and it says lahafli hini Yosef lahafli es ha'om hazem Hafle Vofela. So we're talking about Makos, that it will be Muflos, Muvdolos, be something very, very unique. But the Gemara is asking now, what does it mean? You can't tell me it means that the Makos will be a Pella, because they're coming to explain what it says in the Torah, Upella, Pella Shaykh only on a Dovah Shayna Mitzapinlo. But let's mention that Kol Osik V'Torah Yisurim V'Dela Mimeno, that Isak HaTorah saves a person from suffering. And perhaps that's what Rav meant when he said that when Moshe Rabbeinu declared the Tolchachos V'Yisurim, then Yomru B'nei Yisrael She'edim Choshim Bazeh, the Jews are not serious, they don't take it seriously, they're not worried, because they think that if they suffer this, then they'll begin to study Torah. Therefore, Moshe says to him, "V'hifla Hashem es makoscha." In addition to the makos that will come upon them, a makanosefes will also come upon them, an extra blow, and that will be shichas haTorah. And with regard to that makah, unlike physical makah, so you go to the doctor, lotia trufa lemichtam legarish hayisurim meale. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, kshenichnus Rav Hoseinu lekerem biyavne, amru, they said, asida torish detish takach mi Yisrael. At some point in the future, the Torah will be forgotten. And it's based on a pasuk in Amos, shenemar hine yomim ba'im nu mashem elokim v'shlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Lo ra'av la lechem v'lo tzom alamayim kiim l'shmoa es divrei Hashem. There will be a famine in the land. And this famine is not for bread, it's not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. And it says further, in that same chapter in Amos, it says, Vino'u, they shall journey, Miyom Ad Yom, from the sea to the sea, and Mitzofon V'ad Mizrach, from the north to the east, Yeshotetu, they'll wander. He says, Yelchu anovi ana imitzusion, levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzou, to seek out the word of God, and they will not find it. And we darshin, yeshotu levakesh dvar Hashem zo halacha. And this is based on a pasuk in Dvarim. It says, lahagid lochem es dvar Hashem, which means Torah. All this will be forgotten in the future. So the Torah is going to be forgotten in the future. There's another drasha, Udvar Hashem Zeh HaKetz, which means that the word of Hashem, according to this drasha, refers to the end of the exile. Rashi says he's unaware of a source where the end of exile is referred to the word of Hashem. Tosu suggests, based on a pasuk in Ezra, Lichlos Dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiya, which means upon the conclusion of Hashem's word by the mouth of Yirmiya. That's a reference to the end of the 70-year exile between the first and the second Bate Mikdashos. Now we have another drasha, Dvar Hashem Zeh HaKetz, She'eno Yodea Mehechon. He doesn't know, Rashi, where he got this from. But anyway, Shlo Yodu Yedu Masai Ketz HaGolus. They'll never know when is the end, the termination of the exile. We have a kashya from the Chasdei Dovid in just 1 minute. But first, Vashem Zo Nevuah. That Nevuah will terminate from Israel. And prophecy which is called Dvar Hashem in Hoshaya, Dvar Hashem Asher Hoya Hoshaya El Hoshaya. That tells us that the end of the period of prophecy, which began in the Second Temple period of Bias Sheni. And the Chasdei Dovin asks that this Brisa seems to indicate that before they did know the case, but then they will forget the case. Just like by Torah Nevuah, they knew it, they had it, and then they forgot it. Now, Kates was never known to anyone. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, in Perek HaChelek, based on a pasuk in Shayo, Ki Yom Nokam Belibi, and that means the Libi Gilisi Velole Varai. So again, what does it mean here that the Kates will be forgotten? Was it ever known to be forgotten? Don't believe someone who says he knows when the Kates is coming. Puma Leman Degoli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding on to this secret in his heart. Vadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gila lo zilshus Adam, and he hasn't revealed to anyone. So the Chasdei Dovid, that's Rav Dovid Pardo, writes that Kavonis HaBrais Lekates Golos Bavel, to the end of the Babylonian exile. And Yirmiyahu HaNovi says, Lefi Malos LeBavel Shivim Shona Efkod Eschem, even though he talks about a 70-year period between Golos Bavel and the second Bais, but nevertheless, Lo Yimtu Es HaChezbon. This, I believe, is a sugya in Masechta Megillah. Yes. That there was a mistake about how to calculate the 70 years. So that the Navi that was alive during Bais Rishon is prophesizing that in the future all of this will be forgotten. Kates, Nevuah, Yishtakhu Berishona, Zmana Maharbi Lifne Shiniknusu Chachomim Lekerim, Mishiniknusu Chachom Lekerim, Dorshu, Shabayachr Sayomim Tishtakach Gama Torah Mi Yisrael. So whatever was forgotten historically previous to this episode of Kerem B'Yavna now is extending the Shichacha, that not only that, there'll be a termination of Nevuah and Torah. So the Gemara now tries to analyze this concept of Shichas HaTorah, which is in the Pasuk of Mai. What does the Pasuk mean when it says Yeshotetu, they will journey back and forth, Levakesh is to Hashem V'lo Yimtso, to look, seek out the Word of God, and they will not find it? Is Omru, the Chachamim said, interpreting this pasuk, Asida Isha Shetitol Kikar Shel Truma. So we have a Kikar, a suffix, whether it was a Kikar Shel Truma. We don't know if it came in contact with Tuma, it contracted Tuma or not. V'tagzar V'bote Knesios V'bote Midrashos. She's going to run around in the synagogues, in the house of study, Lishol, to ask the Chachamim, can they lay that? She wants to know, Imtmehi Imtori, V'ain Maven. And there's no one who knows enough to give her a clear-cut verdict and an answer to a question, Imtahori Imtmehi. So the Gemara asks, how can you tell me the Lassid Lovo? They won't know how to answer the question, such a question. Behejik Sivbe, the Torah says explicitly, Vayikri Yad Aleph, Kol Asher Yibol Olav Mehem, if one of the Shmona Shrotzim falls after it dies onto food, it would become tome. So it says explicitly that ochel shebolav mayim huchshel kabel tuma, right? Sheyovelav mayim yitma. And it says explicitly, when does a foodstuff become tome? Elo says the Gemara, when it says yishotu levakish zvar shevelo yimtzou. That's a case where a sheretz falls into an oven, which is made of earthenware. And in the oven, there is a loaf of truma bread, and it became tmeah. Now, what's the question that's going to be asked over here? Leida im rishonahi im shniahi v'eino meiv. What status does this kikar of truma have? Is it a rishon l'tuma, or is it a sheni l'tuma? So let's go back to the basics. Sheretz is an av ha-tuma. Now he has an oven, and his sheretz falls into the oven. That's called a rishon l'tuma. Now, what about the kikar, the loaf of bread that's inside the oven? Is it also considered a rishon l'tuma, or is it a sheni l'tuma? And the Gemara is going to explain what the different stodim are. Now, again, the difference between a rishon l'tuma and a sheni l'tuma is that a rishon l'tuma is metame ochlin u'mashkin, whereas a sheni l'tuma is not metame ochlin u'mashkin. In chulin, it's only metame hegdish. So the Gemara asks, how is it possible that they won't have anyone who can tell them the answer to this question about the status of the kikar, whether it's a rishon l'tuma or a sheni l'tuma, nami masnisen hi? This is explicit in the Mishnah, and we don't believe that the Mishnayos will be forgotten. Kedisnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, hasheretz shenimtza v'tan r'cheres. You have a sheretz that you find inside an earthenware oven, but it didn't come in contact with the kikar, with the loaf of bread in the oven. Hapasha b'tocha shniya mibnei shatanur tchila. So since the tanur into which the sheretz fell is a rishon l'tuma, which can be metame ochlin u'mashkin, therefore the loaf of bread, ochlin u'mashkin, become sheni l'tuma. So that which received tuma directly from the sheretz, which is an ava tuma, becomes a rishon l'tuma. Now it's chozer, it goes back and it's metame the pas, making it into a sheni l'tuma. So we see clearly that the pas is a sheni l'tuma. Why didn't they know that? And the Gemara answers, Misafkalahu, they were vacillating, Hodi Amalei Rav Adav Bar Ava L'Rava. Rav Adav Bar Ava asks the question, why is this pas, as we saw in the Mishnah in Kalim, classified as a Shnia L'Tuma, Lichze Hai Tanura Kiman D'Moli Tuma? We should envision the Tanur as if it's completely filled with Tuma, once the Sheretz falls into the Avera Tuma. Because it's metame the ochel with avir, without any negiyah. So now the Torah says that we machshiv the sheretz as if it's mamale, it fills up kol tocho shel klicheres, the entire inside of the earthenware, the utensil v'lachein, nitma ha'ochel shevekliacheres, gam kishalo noga b'sheretz, ki ilu noga bo. So the food, in this case the bread, that's inside the earthenware oven, even if it doesn't come in contact with the sheretz, is as if it did come in contact with the sheretz, is therefore tehei pas rishona. If that's what the chiddush of the Torah is, the pas should be a rishona l'tuma. It's an ogea of sheretz. Right? Just like we said that the ochel inside the kli cheres, even if it wasn't in direct contact with the sheretz, it's as if it had in contact with the sheretz. Therefore, the pas rishona, even though it wasn't nogea directly to the sheretz, it should be considered as if it was nogea to sheretz. And if that be the case, it should be a rishona l'tuma, as opposed to what we saw here, that it's a shniya l'tuma. Amalei, so Rava responded to Rav Adavar Av, and he said, lo amrinon lech ze hai tanura kiman demali tuma. We're not going to say that we envision the oven as if it was completely filled with tuma, but rather the tanur itself becomes tame because of the sheretz, and it becomes a rishon l'tuma. So we're not going to go as far as you wanted to say, Rav Adav, and it's kiman demali tuma. And therefore, the avir, the tanur, is considered a rishon l'tuma. The pas of lechem, which became tame because of the avir at tanur, becomes a shniya l'tuma, and I'll prove it to you. Tisanya, we learned in a braisa, that once it says in the Torah that anything that falls into the avir kli cheres becomes tame, as it says in the pasuk kol asher b'tocho yitma. So the Torah says clearly that a davar shenafal etoch avir shel kli cheres is nitma. is Yochel, I might think she call a kelim itamim biaver kli cheres. Shall we say that it's not limited? This parsha Vayikid Aleph Kol Shevatochi Yidma is not limited to a kli cheres, but rather applies to all kelim, no matter what material they're made of. Is mitamim biaver kli cheres? They have the same status that if a sheretz falls into the toch of a kli cheres, the aver of a kli cheres. And to the same extent, if the kli was something other than a kli cheres, and let's take the following scenario. We have kol hakelim, they're not of cheres, and im nafal sheretz l'toch kli cheres, ba'osa shah, at the same moment that the sheretz falls inside a kli cheres, hay kli acher v'toch kli cheres. So you put one kli inside another kli. And then the inner kli contracts tumah because of the sheretz. Let's say sheretz fell into the avir of the chitzon. So we would think that in such a case, so in this havamin of yochol, you could call a kelim mitamvelk, you might think that another vessel that's inside the oven together with the sheretz should become tameh in one of two ways, either directly from the sheretz that's suspended in the oven's airspace, because we view it as filling the entire airspace, it should become a rishon l'tumah, or by way of the oven's airspace, which is contracted tumah from the sheretz and then imparted the tumah to the vessel, and it should become a kli sheni. So therefore, im nafal sheretz, let's read it again, l'soch kli cheres, uba'osa shah haya kli acher betocha kli cheres. So in addition to the tanur, you have a kli that's inside the tanur. Shall we say that itame a kli apnimi migabo? Migabo means from the avir, because the sheretz have fell to the avir on the outside of this kli. Talmud lomar, so we have a pasuk kol asher betocho yitma, and immediately afterwards it says mikol ha'ochel ha'ochel asher ye'ochel v'kol ha'mashke asher yishase. So we're going to derive from this that only ochlin u'mashke mitamim bi'aver mikli cheres. V'ein kelim mitamim bi'aver kli cheres. So we see clearly from this brisa that we don't view the entire tanur as if it's mole betuma, because if we would say that, then the din of tuma should apply to the kli as it contracts tuma from the avir, and that should be true inside the oven because the oven is a kli cheres, and therefore it's as if the sheretz had direct contact with the kli that's inside the oven. Anyway, Asidim Yisrael Lishkoach Brisa Zu. In the future, the people of Israel will forget this Brisa, from which we can prove that we don't see the Tanur as if it's Moli Tumah. And they will, what will appeal to them is the Svara of Rav Ada in his Kasha, that the pas, that the food, the bread in this case, that's inside the oven where the sheretz fell in, should become a rishon l'tumah, and they will not know an answer to that question. Anyway, we see clearly from Rav and the Braisa that a seder Torah lishtachap miYisrael, and the Gemara now brings an opposite opinion. Tanya, Rabbi Shim ben Yochai omer chas v'sholem shetishtakach Torah v'Yisrael. Heaven forbid to say such a thing. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Dvarim Lamed Alf ki lo si shokach mipi saro. And it will never be forgotten from his descendants, from the mouth of his offspring. Okay, fine. Elamani Mekayim, so what do I do with the pasuk? Yishotetu levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtu. Shelo yimtu halacha brura. Here we turn to Kufla Mitesam and Aleph. With all its tamim, something that everyone will agree to, will be universally accepted, hu mishnah brura b'makom echad. And we won't be able to find a clear teaching in one place where they shall seek it. And that's what the pasuk really means, that even after Yeshotu to b'chol ha-makomos v'lo yimtzu, that they won't be able to find this concept called halacha brura and mishnah brura. And even when there's no machlokas in the guf halacha, there are machlokas and sometimes in the tam of the halacha, and the reasoning that underlies the halacha. And the Marsha explains that b'makom echad lo yimtzu. What the Gemara means to say, he based himself on Yerushalmi, Tivrei Torah ni b'makomon v'ashirim b'makom acher. And Rav Shimon wants the darshan that you won't find a mishnah brura and halacha brura b'makom echad, meaning that you won't find the halacha in one place. You'll find it after chippus in many different places. And the Vilna Gaon adds that so too we should interpret the pasuk Yeshotu Levakish is Dvar Hashem, that in order to find Dvar Hashem, they'll have to be Meshote, they'll have to run here, run there, in and out, in many different places. And there's a machlokas in the Brisa between Rav Shim Bar Yochai and the Chachamim. According to that Brisa, the Torah will be forgotten completely. But according to Rav Shim Bar Yochai, the halacha will not be found in one place. It will be strewn. It will be spread out in many different places. Just adding here the Ben Ish Chai, he says that the shichach of the halachos is a good thing. Why is that so? Kideshu yigeim v'torah, that we should work hard in Torah. And b'skus ha-yigia zos u'bir halachos ha-mishnayis togein aleim, that's going to protect us. So where we're up to here is on the top of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the second line, Tanya, right after the two Gospels. We'll pick this up tomorrow.